Hi, and welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, where we sit down with each and every one of you every week and try to figure out how you became the fisherman you are. We talk about how you grew up fishing and how that shaped your life. So this week, I have Mitch with me. Mitch, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Matt?
Not too bad. Hey, so we're going to get into right away. Tell me your first fishing memory.
Man, so first fishing memory was probably, could have been 6-7 years old in Manitowoc. My dad actually owns Horn Ford and Brilliant, so they're a boat dealership as well.
Yep.
So he would bring a fishing boat home. We would toy around on the lakes, and actually it was catching bullhead. That's kind of my first fishing experience. And it was my dad's too, kind of. We just didn't know what, you know, we were catching them and we're like, you know, you got to kind of handle them.
So he bought the dealership and he had the boats that came with it. So he wasn't like a boater or wasn't a fisherman prior to that?
No, not really. When he bought the dealership, they were already a Mercury pontoon, rinker, smoker craft, Sylvan dealer. So
you got to grow up with whatever boat your dad decided to take home with him.
For the most part, not so much fishing. We always had a designated fishing boat, but cruising, they would always demo up top of the line boat. Wow. So
life's good there.
Yeah, right. I know. I don't need to get a boat, you know. So
the first time bullhead, bobber fishing?
Yeah, honestly, it's tough to remember. I think bobber and bobber fishing. So
that's always a fun way to start. After that, what do you remember? Something you remember vividly of the next time out, or how it started to progress for you guys?
So really, it progressed. Actually, we had a group. Like I said, my dad wasn't a big fisherman, and then we had a group of my uncle knew some people who went to Canada for a long time.
Okay.
Regulations kind of tightened up. I think you can only bring so many fish back. So they're like, we want to go somewhere in the U.S. So they started going out to Devil's Lake, and they asked us if we'd be interested in going. Again, we weren't great fishermen at the time, really didn't know what we were doing. I was, you know, 12 years old. So actually, we ended up going out there for about 12 consecutive years. Wow. So
how was the first time we went out there?
First time, it was awesome. We it's a weird lake to fish, yep. You know. So starting out, really not knowing, the guys kind of would tell us what to do. But I vividly remember casting weeds with a little perch crankbait and seeing Northern swim up to the boat. So I thought it was the coolest thing. So you know, that's one thing I definitely remember from there.
Wow, it's kind of interesting that you and your dad kind of, fishing wise, kind of did it together. You learned together at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, he's my fishing buddy, and as I was learning, he was learning too. So,
you guys ever butt heads? Or I say, have you ever butt? When's the biggest butt head moment where you're like, hey, no, we got to do this. No, I want to do that.
Oh yeah, it's constant, especially in North Dakota. There's a lot of different areas of fish, but. It always gets pretty intense. I know he had a huge Northern on, 40 plus inch Northern, and our net wasn't big enough for it. So it was about it was literally a 45 minute fight. He's yelling at me. I'm yelling at him. Finally we get to fish in the boat. It was hilarious. We had our other groups were fishing by us. So they just said they're watching and laughing. Right. So
what was it? What do you guys, how are you fishing for that?
So for, in North Dakota, really slip bobber, okay. Slip bobber fishing, because what you're doing is that lake rose has been rising, yep, over the past years. So actually what you're in flooded woods, basically you sneak in, you tie off on trees, you start, bobber fishing. So you'll get your Northern, your walleye. Those are the two main fish out there. But you're in trees. We've talked to people. They're like, you're fishing on, you know, my barn's roof right now. So the water rose that high.
Right. And that's crazy that you're learning to fish in that environment, right?
Yeah.
And you come home and you fish around here and it's just a big flat circle.
Right, exactly. So then when we would fish, you know, come here, we'd start try trolling and stuff. So then I would take that technique out to North Dakota. Well, just with so much, the water level so high, you get snagged.
I suppose.
So you have to run your line super high, and mm-hmm. then it's kind of a pain to try to troll out there, but it can be done, you know. So
that's pretty crazy that that's where you've where you got to learn.
Yeah.
You get to learn with your dad.
Yeah, a great lake out there too. I mean, Devil's Lake, it's beautiful.
So when you started going out there and you guys did that kind of spark both your guys' want to fish more?
Yep.
To come back here and fish more?
Right, yeah, here? Yeah, for sure. And then he actually has a place on the east side of Winnebago. So then we would be going out all the time, tinking around out there. And actually, Winnebago's kind of, if you really don't know Winnebago, it's a tough lake to fish. 15 years ago when you didn't have all the electronics, yep, and stuff, you know, trying to figure that out because it's wide open. Whereas in North Dakota, you know, you see groups of trees or weeds or this or that, mm-hmm, you know, so it's a huge, you
have
a
visual reputation.
Exactly. Visual. You're it's a lot different.
It's just the big circle.
Yeah. Right.
It's a big goofy circle.
Exactly.
So what was the first equipment like when you guys were used back there? Were you just whatever you could find?
Yeah. Whatever we could find. Every year we'd do our Fleet Farm run and just stock up on, you know, a couple of rods, jigs, bobbers. You know, we're, as far as equipment and stuff goes, we're pretty laid back. We don't run super top of the line stuff. Mm-hmm. So pretty basic stuff.
That's cool. When was the first memory of you losing something that you weren't supposed to lose?
We've lost plenty of rods. You know, you're not paying attention. All someone pops over the edge. My dad and I just look at each other and we have a good laugh. Yeah, that's the one thing I can kind of remember.
I want to get into, because it's gonna be pretty interesting. I want to get into landings, boat landings, backing trailers, bracketing it in, putting the boat in the water, being that you both
are together. Yeah.
That had to be some great moments.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, my dad just having the boat business, you know, he's real, he's familiar with the trailers and stuff. It took me a little bit. But then we kind of got it down where, once I got old enough, he would let me operate the boat. So we'd pull in, I would be in the boat, he'd back me down, I get started off. It was like, we had it down, it was like 30 seconds we could be in the water. Cool. So like, cool, while other people are messing around, right, we're ready to go.
That is pretty awesome. Do you have any times where just where absolutely everything went awry?
Yeah, for sure. We've had like insane winds. And in North Dakota, sometimes it's like a straight down launch with no docking on either side.
Oh.
So you're like, it's, and if you gotta have a heavy wind, it's, you have no control. And some of the launches there are just crazy. Running down back roads to super small areas to try to navigate through. But yep. I remember my uncle, so they kind of started fishing as well with us, okay, learning as well. And for the life of him, he cannot back up his boat. So it's always ongoing thing. And it's you know, you have to have a good laugh about it.
Right. There's nothing. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, we've all been there.
Right.
We're all going to get better at it.
But right,
when you're watching the newbies come down and that's, you know, they're crooked, and some of the landings aren't the easiest to
right,
navigate either. Most of them are kind of just jammed into wherever.
Yeah. And there's a lot of action going on. If you have four to six launches, you know, it can be nerve wracking.
A lot of people,
you know,
yeah, getting in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we have it down pretty good. Again, we try to be patient with other boaters as we were in that same boat, you know. Right.
Have you broke anything on the boat, on a boat?
We have. We've ate up a couple props. I think everybody has.
Right, that's true.
But actually one thing that I remember, it wasn't really breaking something, but again, in North Dakota, you just got to be really cautious with where you're at, because yep, you can be running and again, you'll hit the top of a tree that's underwater. Mm-hmm. We're going really slow, just kind of checking out where we wanted to go. And the tree must have been like a V like this. So our boat just drove right on it and like out of the water. And we had actually back off it, and we're, you know, in 20 feet of water. It's crazy.
Oh, it must have been awesome.
So,
did you guys know right away what happened, or just like, what the heck's going on here?
Well, it was kind of like, we kind of knew, but it was like a little shocked, like all of a sudden the boat's just lifting out of the water, you know.
Who's driving?
My dad.
Oh, okay. That's a bit worse, you know. Have you ever been hurt on a boat?
I have not been hurt. I can't say I have. No recollection of being hurt.
Well, that's a positive.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody gets a, you know, a hook sometime, but.
Yeah, I guess hooks. Yeah, I've been, you know, hooked no, as far like, as that, but nothing too crazy. Nothing to go to the hospital
for?
No, no. Okay,
well, that's fair.
Yeah.
What about, so when did you, what moment were you fishing that you realized you want to do this forever? That it wanted to be a hobby that you were going to, you're going to waste extra time and money. To
yeah.
Still do it.
I would say just the, like we eat a lot of fish. We like to harvest them. So like after you have a great day, just, you know, nailing them, cleaning them, and really just bringing it full circle to having family over and having a fish fry. It's like, this is awesome.
Yep.
You know, that's really what we like to do it for. It brings everybody together. But just the excitement, it's like every fish, you just don't know what it is, how big it is. And it just keeps bringing you back, you know?
That's cool. So do you guys, when you go out there, do you do like where you catch them and you cook them when you're there right away, like the same night or?
Yeah. Yeah. In North
Dakota, but fish.
Yeah. In North Dakota, we would do a couple fish fries, have everything set up, loaded up out there. But back home here, we freeze them and then, yep. You know, plan it out. So
that's cool. Yeah, there's nothing. We used to go to Minnesota as a child and perch fishing, and then you immediately go into the cleaning house and you be in there for an hour and then all of a sudden you're eating fresh fish and there's
Nothing like it.
There's no better. Everybody's like, when's your fresh fish you had? I'm like, just outside of a little town in Minnesota, right? Because that's the best fish you'll ever have.
Yeah,
to me at least.
Yeah. So to ask you a question, like when you go out for like a fish fry, do you go to fish fries or?
I generally don't. I mean, every now and then I do, but I generally don't. I don't, you know, we eat fish on a weird nights, I guess, because a lot of Fridays are preparing for the weekend.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But generally we'll have fish on like Wednesday night or something weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, we generally don't do too much fish fries.
That's just something I always ask like fishermen, because generally like we think, We make it better than we can get it at a restaurant.
Right. Honestly, I definitely think so. And a lot of different. I think there's some restaurants that do a really good job.
For sure. Yeah. I'm not knocking them at all.
But there is some that also, you know, it's hit or miss on some.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Careful.
But yeah, there is nothing like a home cooked fish fry.
Yeah.
Or the fresh off the lake.
Since we're on the topic of fish fries, me and my buddies did a backpacking trip in Canada. So Georgian Bay.
Okay.
And we actually brought a little cooktop, oil, everything with us. So one day we caught a ton of northern, and I flayed them up on the rocks out there. And it was like, since it's such cold water up there, it was like the freshest, best northern.
I do
right there too.
I do believe, and I might get some hate for this, but I believe northern is probably the best tasting fish.
See,
once you learn how to take care of the Y bones, all that stuff, it is pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I was always like I always had a little fishy taste with the northern. Yep. But it's honestly grown on me. And I would say, I hear a lot of people too, they say northern is their white favorite.
Flaky. Oh man, that's so numb.
Yeah.
I mean, although, you know, if you can stomach cleaning eel pout, they're pretty awesome too as well.
Sure. I have never had.
You clean them is kind of interesting, but other than that, yeah, they are awesome. Even most people say to use them as freshwater lobster. Just frying them, they're just spectacular. Just, you'd think there'd be more meat on them though. There's really not as much as you think, but
yeah. And I out in North Dakota, we would catch so many northern. You know, that's where I learned how to clean fish too, and then somebody taught me how to clean the northern. Well, I became really good at it. So the whole group would come in with, let's say, 30 northern.
And you're the man.
My uncle and I were stuck Y-boning all of them. So I became pretty good at
part, though, is when you learn those little things and people, that's kind of your niche now is you're the northern cleaning guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely. Tell me about cleaning northern on a rock.
I actually have pictures of it. So where our camp, our base was just on rocks. We were literally sleeping on rocks. So I just found the flattest area I could, and just flayed them up right there, right on the rock. So
was that a fishing trip or just a kind of a hiking trip with poles?
So that was, we actually went to Niagara Falls, Toronto. We're in the city for a little bit. And then we had it on our minds that we brought canoes with us that we were going to just do kind of a backpacking fishing if we could. Mm-hmm. We really didn't know. We didn't know the area that well. Didn't know what the fishing was like. It was kind of on the whim right. type of trip, you know, so.
Well, that's cool. It worked out at least.
Yeah, yeah, it did. It was great.
So you are a proficient northern cleaner.
Yep.
What else have you learned that from North Dakota that you bring back here? What kind of techniques? What was your first technique you were proficient at? You knew you could do all the time.
And it's easy, but just slip bobbering. But the one I learned out there, which worked really well, was using a weedless floating jig head
okay.
with a leech and casting it and bouncing off the bottom. So I don't use it a ton out here, but I have, you know, if you're bouncing rocks and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, but again, we're pretty simple with our techniques. We jig, slip bobber, troll. We don't get too fancy, you know, so.
So did you learn trolling or do you guys just straight start on your own? Did somebody help you with that?
So that's a little... we owe a lot of credit to our neighbor at the cottage, Tony Barber. He's a big walleye fisherman, East Shore Outdoors. He did some guiding for a while. He taught us a lot of what we know, spots to go, you know, trolling techniques and just picking it up. And then the biggest thing is when you're out there, you try it, you know, right. if you have nobody telling you it's right or wrong, you kind of learn on the fly, you know, so.
And you run over your boards and yeah, have all right. stuff together.
Yeah. Oh, all the time. Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to figure out how to bring the fish in the boards? I'll get them tangled.
Honestly, sometimes I still get messed up on it, but, it took us quite some time, you know, actually right. it's not super easy, especially if you have a weird current or waves, yep. you know, but now we're pretty good at it. Every now and then we get
tangled up. Oh yeah, I think everybody gets right? tangled up every now and then. Everybody yeah. forgets about things or
yeah.
somebody makes a turn, doesn't tell somebody, and
right.
all of a sudden you run over some lines and
yeah.
Or the big old sheephead that kind of decide to get in a couple.
They just
you got some big ones over there too.
Huge, huge. They just hammer it and it's crazy. But yeah, we run a lot of flicker shads. That's kind of our main goal too.
Fair. And it's clean too. You don't worry about night crawlers. I have night crawlers in the boat, but that's not a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We don't like running crawler harnesses too much, but you know, we will. So
that's cool. But no issues with so you guys are proficient in trolling or you're just
I would say there. Now we're proficient in trolling. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Go out and catch fish.
Yeah.
Catch some food.
Yep.
How, when you go out, do you go out for food all the time or you ever just catch and let them go?
Really? It's, we're gonna go to fill the freezer. But again, we're ethical. If it's a small fish, we're not keeping everything, you know, we're letting,
but you're going out to phone out for the,
yeah,
for
generally, harvest. Generally we are going to harvest. But again, in the back of our heads, we know that we got to sustain the ecosystem out there and, mm-hmm. and let small fish go. And, you know, we're not just taking everything we can, which some people do, which
some people do.
Is okay if that's how you want to do it. But
so as I'm going to ask a question that's going to be good for a later teaser, as a harvest fisherman, how do you feel when you see tournament guys and you're like, how does it make you feel? Is that the anger you, or is it kind of a, how life is supposed to be? How does that affect you? Does it bother you?
As far as like catch and release?
Catch and release, yeah. Or the keep tournaments, stuff like that. Is that
no,
bother you at all?
Honestly, it doesn't. Just because they have the same right that I do out there. You know, if the fish would go to waste or something, then that would anger me. You know, but as far as tournaments go, I think the lake is also a lot larger and there's a lot more fish than people mm-hmm. think are in it, you know? Right. So I wouldn't say I get upset or okay. angered about fair that.
Enough. Fair enough. What was your favorite experience fishing so far? And your
favorite experience? I'm going to take this to Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay.
So we're going saltwater.
Nice.
I had a buddy out there, Ryan, went out there to visit him, my dad and I, again, him and his dad. They took us out shark fishing.
Shark?
Yeah, shark okay. fishing. So actually what they would do is, I forgot what type of bait we were using, but they would blow up a balloon, tie off a balloon as a big bobber.
Yep.
Run it about 3 feet off the surface, and we probably caught, I don't know, 12 sharks in hour and a half. So we have really cool pictures holding them. Nothing, if they have a really big one, they'd pull up to the side of the boat, you know, get pictures. We didn't have anything that big, but towards the end of that fish, we had something huge on. It actually ended up being, I think, over a 3-hour fight.
Wow.
And we ended up not being able to, it broke off. We weren't able to get it.
You don't get to see it or whatever. Yeah. So did you all take part in that fight then?
So I started it, and then I didn't have the rod holder harness on, so then I passed it off to my dad, and he actually finished it. I think he was probably on it for over 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it was, you know, towards the end, we're all just sitting there kind of bored, you know? So they ended up...
Get over with
it. Yeah, they ended up pulling the anchors. We tried, you know, we tried chasing it, but it took a deep dive and snapped. So it was that's cool. Pretty upsetting, but yeah, it was
awesome. The worst when you don't get to see the fish. Like, I don't mind losing fish as long as I saw what it was. I'm like, okay, well, fair.
Right. And these guys, you know, the charter guys were like, it was either a massive, huge stingray, or a really big, possibly a smaller great white shark. Okay. So they just said whatever it was going to be huge, you know.
For the full version of this podcast, check out Fix TV. And remember, follow me on the talk at Smilin' Fish and everywhere else at Matt Snell.